This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
This is what the Bible says in 1 Kings 18:21 for several weeks, and we're going to continue preaching about living, learning, and leading in difficult days. We're taking Elijah. We're taking his life. We're studying about this great man of God. The more I study about him, the more I want to change my name. The more I want to change my name to Elijah. The more I study about him, the more I want to be like Elijah. Perhaps these are the days of Elijah, but I want to be like him. Look what the Bible says in 1 Kings 18 and 21. And Elijah came unto all the people, and he said to them, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered not a word. I want to talk to you about a blessable life. A blessable life. The Bible says this in Psalms 84 and 11. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God wants to bless our lives. But God can't bless our lives if it's not a blessable life. And God blessed Elijah. Literally, fire came down from heaven. Elijah called the fire down. Certainly a blessable life. Now, let me give you some background to the story. Elijah said to Ahab, he said, Ahab, I want you to do something. I want you to get the 450 prophets of Baal. Baal was the god of the lightning. He was the sun god. He was the fertility god. Not only the 450 prophets of Baal, that was the male deity, but they had a female deity. Asherah was her name. They believed that when they looked in the sky and they saw the sun, that was Baal, the male god. But when they saw the moon, that was Asherah, the female god. And Elijah said, bring together those 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. And we're going to do something. He said, we're going to build a sacrifice. And he said, we're going to build two sacrifices. We're going to build one sacrifice, and we're going to put a bullock on the sacrifice. And then we'll build another sacrifice, and we'll put a bullock on the sacrifice. And he said to those 850 prophets, early in the morning, you call on your God, who, by the way, is the God of lightning. It shouldn't be a problem. He controls the lightning. He ought to be able to send the fire. And so you know the story. Early that morning, they started praying. But Elijah was my type of guy. I look what he said. I love what he said. About 12 o'clock, about noontime, Elijah began mocking them. He said, you guys have got to shout louder. He scoffed, for surely he is a god. And then he said, perhaps Baal is daydreaming. Or he's relieving himself. What does that mean? Perhaps he's taking a potty break right now while you're praying. That's what the Bible says. Or maybe he's gone to the North Georgia mountains to look at the leaves. Or he's taking a Rip Van Winkle snooze and he needs to be awakened. Nothing happened. I've said this thousands of times, but I said we need prayer in schools. And every time I make that statement to some politically correct people. They say, but you don't understand, when you make that statement, you've got to bring Muslim rugs into the school, and you've got to let Buddhists pray, and you've got to let different faiths pray. And I always respond by saying, let them pray. Nothing's going to happen anyway when they pray. Nothing's going to happen. But when the children of Yahweh pray, something happens. Now, I want you to see something in verse 36. This is what the Bible says. This is a typology. This is good if you'll hold on close. And it came to pass. Thank God, folks. Amen? COVID's going to come to pass. Amen? The presidential election's going to come to pass. Amen? Praise God. And it came to pass. At the time of the evening sacrifice. What time was that? 3 o'clock. Jesus went on the cross at 9. Finished, concluded what he was meant to do at 3 o'clock. The very time, the evening sacrifice, that Elijah, the prophet, came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known that this day that thou art the God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Look, folks. Elijah calls on God, and the fire comes. Look here. First, there was a sacrifice, the bullock. The bullock represents Jesus Christ. But after the blood sacrifice, the fire came. The fire came on Pentecost. It's a typology of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I want you to see. The fire came. The fire came. The blessing came. What will bring the blessing to your life? What will bring the blessing to my life? I want to give you 4 quick points. If you want the blessing in your life, there's 4 things. Number one, an audience of one. You said, Pastor, what are you talking about, an audience of one? Well, if you look in 1 Kings 18, verse 17, this is what Ahab said about Elijah. You're just a troublemaker. You're the one who troubleth Israel. A.W. Tozer said, to be right with God has often meant to be in trouble with men. Let me say something, folks. If you please God, it doesn't matter who you don't please. But if you don't please God, it doesn't matter who you do please. If you want the blessing of God on your life, you've got to respond to an audience of one. You say, well, Pastor, everybody speaks well of that person. Well, look what the Bible says. Look what Jesus said. Woe be unto you when all men speak well of you. This is all I'm going to say. If everybody speaks well of you, it might be an indicator that you never stood for anything in life. Barbara said one time, she said, it breaks my heart, the things people say about you. And I said, Barbara, aren't we glad they don't know all the truth? It's got to be an audience of one. Oh, sometimes I get letters. Sure. Usually not signed, but I get them. I remember one time I got a letter, and it was a letter, and I opened it up, and then they had taken a red Sharpie in big letters. They had wrote, idiot. Julie said, what do you think? That's my assistant. I said, well, you know, Julie, I've gotten a lot of letters through the years that were not signed. I said, this time they signed it, no letter. Listen, folks, if you want a blessable life, just get an audience of one. Now, I'm not trying to say run around trying to anger people. I don't mean that. But what I am trying to say, more than anything, you want to please God. Let me tell you the second step to a blessable life. That's a sold out life. I researched this when he said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? The word there, halt, means to hop back and forth. It's talking about a bunny rabbit, how it hops from here, hops to there. They're double-minded. There's no stability. Let me explain, folks. When I first read this story, I thought, here's what's going on. These people are committed Baal worshipers. But that wasn't the case. Here's the case. They would, on Friday, offer their children up. They would put their children in a fire in sacrifice to Baal on Friday. On Sunday, they would offer a lamb up to God as a sacrifice. That's why Elijah said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? Elijah was saying, either get in or get out. Get right or get left. He was saying, sold out. Fully sell out to the Lord. And I'm not going to camp here long, but here's what I'm going to say. The church is too worldly. And the world is too churchy. But we won't make a difference until we are different. We're in this world in contact, but we're not in this world in conduct. And God expects us to be a different people. Peculiar ambassadors for Jesus Christ. I'm just saying, folks, if you want the blessing of God on your life, an audience of one, I want to please Him. Number two, a sold out life. Number three, you're going to have to let go of the precious. I thought about something. Elijah did something here. He said, we're going to call on Yahweh to send the fire. But he said, before he sends the fire, put 12 barrels of water. Now I read over that and I kind of skimmed over that. 12 barrels of water. But then I realized something. It hadn't rained in 3.5 years. It hadn't rained in 3.5 years. Water had to be so precious. Let me tell you what God wants from us. God wants from you what's precious. David said, I'm not going to give him a sacrifice that costs me nothing. I'm not just talking about monetarily, but I want you to know something. God wants what's precious in your life. And He wants to be Lord. And He wants to be above what seems so precious to you. For God to do the supernatural in your life, you're going to have to let go of the precious. Whatever the precious is in your life. For God to do great things, you're going to have to let go of the precious. You say, Pastor, what is that? Only you know. Look here, folks. Psalms 125. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Wait. There's some tears involved. Well, what's precious? Bearing precious seed. There's some tears involved. Well, what's precious? But wait. If you don't let go of it and the seed get in the ground, the harvest can't happen in your life. As long as you're holding on to it, God can't do the supernatural. It may be your child. It may be your career. It may be your education. It may be your finances. But I want to say to you, you've got to let go of the precious. Whatever that means to you. Moses is standing before God in the book of Exodus chapter 4, and he says, Moses, what is that in your hand? He said, it's a rod. It's a rod. And the Bible says, God said, cast it on the ground. And it became a snake. And Moses did what I would do. He ran. He moved away from it. He said, Pastor, what do you think about snake handling? There's a difference between faith and foolishness. Amen? God said, Moses, pick it up. Grab that snake by the tail. It became a rod again. God was showing Moses, I can do the supernatural, but you got to let go of it. Whatever we're trying to hold on so tight to, whatever we're, I don't know why, but I feel this deep in my spirit. Whatever you're trying to hold on so tight to, God can't do everything that he really wants to do until you let go of the precious in your life. You say, and folks, it may not even mean totally letting go of it, but it will mean showing God that you're more important to me than the precious in my life. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but this is deep in my soul. You've got to let go of the precious for God to do the supernatural in your life. Let me tell you the fourth point, and I'm done. God to be glorified must be your number one priority. God to be glorified must be your number one priority. Elijah said, God, send the fire down. God, send the fire down. And look what the Bible says. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. That these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust licked up the water that was in the trench. Look what verse 39 says. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, Elijah's the man. The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Let me tell you something. If you want God to bless your life, God, whether I fail or excel, whether I win or lose, whether it's hurt or healing, whether it's hardship or hallelujah, I want you to be glorified. Folks, I'm 56 years old tomorrow. Anything other than that will leave you as empty as can be. Anything other than that will leave you as empty as can be. Every accolade that can be bestowed upon you will leave you as empty as can be. The only fulfillment, the only peace, the only tranquility is when you know that God was glorified with your life. There was a little boy. And I'm done with this story. All the writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, chose to record this story. So it must be important. His mother, somebody packed his lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It was precious. It was lunch. Somebody said to me, Pastor, I got so busy I worked through lunch and forgot about it. I've worked through lunch, but I never did forget about it. I probably would have given 2 loaves, 1 fish,
gave it all. He gave it all. It had to be precious. It was his lunch. What's God want? He wants your lunch. He wants your lunch, young person. He gave it. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. There's 5,000 men there. There had to be some women and children. 15,000 people. Everybody had fish and chips. Wait. What a miracle. What a miracle. He gave what's precious. 15,000 people. God was glorified. We don't even know his name. Because when you really glorify God, they won't remember your name. They'll remember him. It's not about your name or my name. It's about his name. And it's about him being glorified with our lives. It's about our lives bringing glory to him and in turn bringing others to him. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which art in heaven.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.